as we continue to worship, Jesus is Lord of all. And this hymn reminds us of that, a hymn written by the Gaithers, that just reminds us of the greatness of Jesus as Lord of our tomorrows and of all of our fears. And that's why we crown him this morning, that he is Lord of all of our failures. He is Lord of our past. He's our Lord of tomorrow. And we can believe and trust in that as we go into the new year. And that's a great assurance to have as we praise him. Our scripture this morning, as we prepare to meet the Lord at his table, is found in 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be reading in chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Let's hear the word of the Lord together as written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit, his letter, second letter to the church in Corinth. The scripture declares, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here ends your reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word and the hope and the encouragement it brings us. And Lord, as we come into this new year, we come trusting in you. We come looking to you, Lord, for each day that you give us. And today we come to hear from you once again, to be encouraged by your truth, and to share with you in celebration and remembrance at your table, thanking you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. To you and you alone be the glory. And Father, I pray that through your word this morning, you would speak to us and encourage our hearts and refresh us, that we would know, and it's been good for us to be together this morning because we have met with you, and our hearts have been blessed with the fellowship with you and one another. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever accidentally broken something that was valuable? Maybe it was a prized possession vase or family heirloom, and somehow or someone accidentally dropped it, and then you're in remorse of the was crushed as it lays in shambles on the floor. One of my favorite shows, The Brady Bunch. I like that show. And there was an episode one time where the boys were playing ball in the house. And they always said, Mom says, don't play ball in the house, but they were playing ball in their bedroom, and they threw the ball and they missed it, and it bounced down the steps and it hit Mrs. Brady's prized vase and it shattered it. And they heard something break. And the kids were trying to cover because Peter was throwing the ball and he was going on a camping trip. So all the kids tried to cover for him. So they tried to glue it back together again, and they filled it with water. Well, here, Mr. Brady brought flowers home for Mrs. Brady, and she wanted to put them in her really nice vase. So they're sitting there having dinner at the table, and all the kids are watching this. And then after a while, it starts to leak, and she found out that her prized vase had been broken. When I was small, I was about maybe 5 years old, around five or six, we were having a covered dish at one of our church when my dad was pastoring, and after the covered dish was over, my mom told my sister to take the dish that had the food was left over back and put it in the car. She said, take this out and put it in the car. Well, my sister wanted to run around and play. I was the youngest, so she hands it to me. She says, here, Dan, you take it to the car. She said, I want to play. So she hands it to me. I'm carrying this glass dish, and I tripped over something. I don't even remember what I tripped, and I fell, and it shattered. And I got cut, and I got these stitches. I had to go to the hospital, and ended up with these stitches in my face. My mother was really angry at my sister. But we've all had things that have been broken. This morning, we come to remember and to celebrate the greatest thing that was broken for you and me. And that's Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul tells us that we have this treasure that's been given to us in a clay pot or a clay vase. Now, in Bible times, the clay pots were made, pottery made out of clay, and they were very fragile. And a clay pot, just like this, is something that is very, very fragile and can easily be broken. And Paul said, your life and my life are like those clay pots that are very fragile. But yet within your life and mine, something very valuable has been placed. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself left heaven and was entrusted into a fragile human body that we just celebrated at Christmas and hung on the cross and was broken for you and I. And in that, this morning, we come to celebrate. And as Paul was reflecting on the clay pots and how fragile they are, he said, why? It seems strange. Why would God trust the treasure of the gospel and something as valuable as the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation into fragile human beings like us? With our frailties, with our weaknesses, with our sins, with our doubts, with our shortcomings, and with our failures. You say, why would God entrust something as valuable to us? But Paul said there's three reasons. And there's three reasons why in the broken treasure that we remember this morning, why you and I have been trusted with something as fragile as this. The first reason is so that the power of Christ will be clearly seen. That in the power of Christ seen in you and I, and weak vessels that are prone to fail, that are fallible, that it can be broken, his power can be clearly seen. Notice he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? He said, to show something. He said, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from who? Not from us, but from God. That in suffering, in the power of God will be clearly seen, that in the strength that comes through suffering, that when we go through times of suffering and brokenness, that's when God's power is seen. When Jesus hung on the cross and he was broken for you and me, the Son of God, God himself who left heaven, was placed on the cross and suffered and died. Satan thought he won that day. The religious leaders thought they won that day. Those who cried, crucify him, thought they won that day. And they thought it was a sign of weakness, but in that God displayed his strength and glory through the brokenness. And it's that same way in your life and mine, friends. And we've gone through a challenging year, haven't we? And we say, why? But it's so that the power and strength of Christ would be seen in suffering. And Paul says, how does this happen? He gives us four ways. He says, but it says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that its unsurpassing greatness power belongs to God, not to us. Later on, Paul would say in a couple chapters in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 11, he said that Paul, when he prayed for that thorn in the flesh, that infirmity to be removed from him, three times he prayed, Lord, remove it from me, as you know. And the Lord said, no. And Paul said, I've learned, the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul said, when I am weak, he is strong. So in those times of suffering that we go through, in these challenges and trials that we faced last year, and we don't know what's ahead of us, the power of God is displayed beautifully through brokenness and weakness. Why? Because we are hard pressed, but we're not crushed. Notice he says, we are hard pressed on every side. And it's the picture of a clay pot. And here's a picture of one of the potter. And when the potter fashions the clay pot, the clay, he presses it on all sides to form it the way that the potter wants. But the potter has to apply that pressure to form it into the will of the potter and what the potter designed it to be. And that pressure has to be applied. And it's the picture here, Paul saying that your life and mine, sometimes when we're going through those times of suffering, it feel like we are pressed on every side. Ever been there? Where you feel like you're hard pressed on every side and you're hemmed in and there's like no way out? He said, but even in those times when we feel like we're hard pressed, we may be, but we're not crushed, thank God. Because Jesus is with us. And he will not abandon us. And his power is being revealed in our times of weakness and in our times of brokenness. So as we go into this new year, thank God for that. That yes, we may be hard crushed, hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. There's hope. Also, we are perplexed, he says, but we're not in despair. Now, there's no doubt, and we all would agree, that 2020 was a very perplexing year, wasn't it? Very perplexing. And we heard the news, and we looked at what was going on, and we say, these are definitely perplexing times. And we can't figure it out. And we can't figure out, what is God doing in this? Why is he allowing this? It's very perplexing. And it's okay to have those questions. It's okay to be perplexed about the things we're facing in life and when we're going through hardship and difficulty and suffering. It's okay to be perplexed about that. But Paul says, notice, we may be perplexed, but we're not in despair, which means we're not hopeless. We don't have to throw up our hands and say, well, there's no way out of this, or we might as well forget it. We don't have to give up hope because we have a great God who is in control. Amen? And we can trust that. We don't know what this year brings, but he's on the throne. It's okay. We can be perplexed, but don't give in to despair. Don't lose hope. Because God's power is clearly seen in those times of weakness. The picture here is the potter is making the clay pot on the spinning wheel, and it's spinning it around. I can imagine if that clay could talk, it would say, what in the world is going on? I'm being spun around in this thing. What in the world has happened to me? And sometimes we feel like our life is being spun around like that. We say, what is the potter, the Lord, trying to do? This doesn't make sense to me. And sometimes we say, it doesn't make sense what the potter is trying to do to us, the clay, sometimes, does it? But we have to submit to him and trust that the potter knows. You can be perplexed, but don't be in despair. Then he says, we are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. All around the world, Christians are facing persecution for their faith. We don't know what persecution we may face, but in times of persecution and tribulation, as hard as they may be, we will experience that. We're not excluded from that. Jesus said, in this world, we will have persecution. But the good news is, in those times, we are not abandoned by God. The light still shines. The vessel may be broken, but the light of Christ is still shining through. And the hope of his presence with us is always there. Because he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. And his strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, we are struck down, but we were not destroyed. There may be times in our life we feel like we're broken and laying on the floor from the hardship and the suffering we're going through. And our lives may be broken. Sandy, you went through that our life was broken, but you were not destroyed. You had your faith that got you through, right? And it's through those times, even when we're struck down, we're not destroyed because we have the faith to know that the Lord is with us. And in those times of weakness, God's strength is clearly seen. So sometimes this treasure is in the power of Christ in a clay pot so the power of Christ may be clearly seen. It was that way in Jesus that his strength was seen through his time of suffering. That's what we celebrate this morning. And also, strength comes through suffering and in the life that comes through death. He goes on to say, we also have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this power is from God and not from us. But he also says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, for his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, he gave it for you and me, that he freely gave his life, that through his death, we could have life. And we celebrate that this morning, that his body broken for us, that we could have life through him. His physical, eternal life and new life. But also as we die to ourselves, Paul was crucified, he said, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life that I live for Christ, who loved and gave himself for me. That as Jesus died on the cross and gave himself, we die to our old life as well. And are raised in newness of life. That we were crucified with Jesus on that cross. And we experience newness of life, that through his death, we have new life. And we celebrate that this morning as we gather around his table. It's broken in a clay pot so that the power of God may be clearly seen, but also, secondly, so that the salvation of Christ may be boldly proclaimed. He goes on to say in verse 13, he says, It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. That through the breaking of the clay pot, the treasure entrusted to us, the gospel, through clay, fragile clay pots like us, is that through our lives, the gospel may be proclaimed boldly by sharing the promise that we ourselves have been given. Paul says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. That's a quote from the Old Testament, from Psalm 116, verse 10. And if you would go back and look that up, that's where you would find it. Psalm 116, verse 10. And the theme of Psalm 116 is to give praise to God for being delivered from certain death. That the psalmist is praising God for being saved from death. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? He saved us from death. He saved us from eternal death. He saved us and gave us eternal life, and he rescued us. And so he said, because we believe, we speak. Because we have been saved, we proclaim what Jesus has done for us by sharing the promise that we've been given of eternal life. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 and 29, Jesus, in that first Lord's Supper, gathered together with his disciples and said, I desire to eat this with you before I suffer. And he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Then he took the cup and said, this is my blood shed, the new covenant that poured out as a ransom for many. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have that promise, the promise of forgiveness. And that's what we remember and celebrate today at his table, that through his body broken, we have been and given the promise of forgiveness. And that's something to share, not to keep on to ourselves, but to share that because we have been forgiven, others can be as well. Because Jesus loved us and gave himself, we know other people that need that same promise of forgiveness too. But sharing the promise of forgiveness, but also sharing the promise of eternal life. In Matthew 26, verse 29, Jesus said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That the Lord's table gives us a promise, not only a forgiveness of our sins now and in the past, but the promise of sitting down with his table in his presence forever in heaven. That it has that future element to it of looking forward to the day that we all sit down around his table in heaven and enjoy eternal fellowship, not only with him, but those who are already there. And won't that be a glorious day when we're all joined together again? And it's a promise of that, a promise of forgiveness, but also a promise of our future that we have waiting for us. And that's a hope. And that's a hope that's not to be came to ourselves. And he said, because I believe, I spoke. And he said, that same spirit of faith also believe, and therefore we speak so that others will know. And holding that promise, by sharing the promise of forgiveness and also by showing the grace that we received. He goes on to say that Christ has proclaimed, he said, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God, he says in verse 15. We share with the promise, the hope of the promise, but also by showing grace that we've received. That as God has given us grace through Christ, we show that grace to others. Because God has forgiven us, we're willing to extend that forgiveness to others, even when we feel they don't deserve it. We're willing to extend that grace because we've been forgiven. And by showing grace to people that we feel don't deserve it, that's the way that Christ is being proclaimed, right? That's the way his love is being seen in through our lives. And the gospel is being boldly proclaimed. And third, We have this treasures in jars of clay so the endurance of Christ will be fully embraced. He goes on to say in verse 16 as he closes this section, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore, so we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. When Jesus died on the cross and he suffered, he endured suffering far greater than any of us ever could experience or imagine. And we remember that suffering today through the bread and the cup. But he endured and he went all the way to the end. He could have called, the scripture says he could have called 10,000 angels to the Father and say, Father, save me from this. But he didn't. He endured it for you and me because he loved you so much. And our suffering, Paul says, our suffering that we go through and the trials that we experience, and as horrible maybe as 2020 was, he said, is nothing compares to what Jesus himself went through for you and me. And we continue to endure and embrace what Christ has done for us by staying faithful. He says, therefore, we don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. But continue to press on. Continue to follow Christ faithfully, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it's times when we feel like our life has been broken and crushed. And by staying focused, he says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, not on this earth, but fix your eyes on what is unseen. For what we see here is only temporary, but what is unseen in heaven is eternal and lasts forever. And that's where our focus got to be. When we're gone through those times of darkness, when we're gone through those times of suffering, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look heavenward. Fix your eyes on Jesus and fix your eyes on eternity. You've heard me say it before and I'll say it again, but it will be worth it all when we stand before Jesus, when we see him someday. When we trade this body for that eternal body and that eternal glory that is waiting for us someday. The bread and cup was broken. His body was broken, his blood was given so that his power could be clearly seen in times of weakness, so that his salvation could be boldly proclaimed, and so that his endurance can be embraced for us as well, that as he suffered, we endure as well until the day he calls us home. As we prepare to meet our Lord at his table, as we do on Communion Sunday, as we join together in a time of prayer, in preparation to meet our Lord together. So let's just bow together in a time of prayer right where you are and just take this moment to prepare your heart. Scripture says as we come before him, it's important that we come before him examining ourselves, making sure that we're in a right relationship with him and one another. So just prepare yourself. If there's anything you need to get right with God, just do it now and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Father, we thank you as we gather together this morning and prepare to meet you at your table today, that you were broken for us. You entrusted the treasure of the gospel into a fragile clay pot, our human bodies, that can so easily be broken and become frail and wear out. And Jesus entrusted himself into a body that could be broken for us. That out of that weakness of the humanness, your glory and power is revealed. And Lord, in those times of suffering that we go through, remind us, Lord, that your glory, when we are weak, you are strong. And Lord, we thank you that the hope that we have through Jesus, that he endured, he suffered far greater than anything we could imagine for you and for all of us, that we can have life, and we thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, today as we come to your table, prepare us to meet with you today. We thank you that we have this relationship with you through your Son. And Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us and the bread that as we prepare to take together today, a reminder of your body broken for us, we consecrate it to you. For the cup, the blood, a reminder of your blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin and the fellowship that we can have with you. Lord, we consecrate the cup to you. And Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you again anew and afresh. Lord, may we not lose heart when it gets hard and when it gets difficult. May we continue to see that your power, it's then when your power is clearly seen. And may we continue to press on, fixing our eyes on you, our Savior, who has given so much for us, and the prize that is waiting for us at the end of the race. So Lord, we thank you for this time that we can pause and remember you. We thank you that we can commune with you personally and together corporately as your family, and know that you are with all of us and you are in all of us through your Holy Spirit. So draw us close to you this morning, and may this time be blessed as we pause in remembrance and celebration. It's in this prayer, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You can get your communion elements ready and hold them until we partake together as I give the time, the instruction. But Jesus said we do this in remembrance of him. And in the night before he was betrayed, he gathered together with the disciples in the upper room, and he said, took bread, and after he had blessed it and broke it, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, Jesus said, eat it in remembrance of me. Take the bread and eat it in remembrance of him, his body broken for you. After supper, he took the cup and said, this is my blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. As often as you drink this, Jesus said, drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of Christ shed for you, drink it in remembrance of him. Let us pray again. Our Father, we thank you for this time of remembrance around your table. We thank you, Lord, that you allowed yourself to be broken, that through your brokenness we can have life. Lord, as we share it again today in the bread and the cup, just encourage our hearts and strengthen us, thanking you, Lord, that you have made it all possible that we can have life and have salvation and a promise of that a wonderful inheritance waiting for us. So Lord, we commit ourselves again to live for you in this year ahead. We don't know what the year brings, but we know that you are already there. We know, Lord, that you are guiding, directing our steps. So we go trusting in you and relying on you through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, we close by a hymn written by Melody and Steve Green. It so beautifully reminds us of that there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And even he has redeemed us, but he's left us here as a clay pot to be his witness until the day he calls us home. And he's given us the Holy Spirit within us to give us the power that we need.